I want to welcome everybody to the Lighthouse this morning. I want to welcome everybody to Holy Week.
Yes.
This is Holy Week. It's Palm Sunday. This morning is Palm Sunday. Like I kind of explained a little bit earlier, this is the time in our history when Jesus came to Jerusalem. He came to Jerusalem to do what? To eventually die on a cross. He came going to celebrate the Passover. He came in this week. He instituted the Lord's Supper. He was on the cross. There's so many things that come out of this week. A day in the life, a week in the life of Christ, if you want to. There's something that we need to understand today, each and every one of us. Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Christ. The Messiah. Our Savior. He came to earth to do a specific duty, a holy calling. Does everybody know your calling this morning?
Yes, he did.
He came to pay a debt he didn't owe for sins that he didn't commit. He, the sinless person of God. The sinless man God, born of a virgin. Lived a sinless life. Went out and picked regular men to follow him. Said, come follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. To build his church. Those original disciples. Jesus knew that even before the creation of this earth, that he was going to have to come into Jerusalem that Sunday morning to the cries of Hosanna, Hosanna. And he knew that by the next Sunday that he would have been crucified on a cross and had been resurrected. Jesus knew that even before the creation of man, to have a relationship that he wanted with man, a free love relationship in God's perfect timing. He had to do something. And it started on that road to Jerusalem this morning, 2,000 something years ago. He was sent to do a specific job. And it awaited him in Jerusalem. The cross and the resurrection. By this time, Jesus had fulfilled prophecy. He had lived a sinless life, Barb. He had laid the foundations for his church. He had taught of a glorious future and a resurrection. Now Jesus came to Jerusalem to complete the transaction. To purchase us. To purchase, to complete that transaction that he had begun in the creation of man. He came to Jerusalem to complete the bridge, a way for us to go with him in heaven. Would you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 19? And I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's word this morning. All throughout history, people have stood and listened to the message of God's word. Luke chapter 19, I'm going to start in verse 36. As he rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started down the Mountain of Olives, all the followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles that they had seen. Verse 38, blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. But some of the Pharisees among the crowd, teacher, rebuked the followers for saying things like that. He replied, if they keep quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers. Other translation says, the stones, the rocks would cry out. But as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. How I wish today that you, of all people, would understand the way to peace. But now it's too late, and the peace is hidden from your eyes. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against the walls and encircle you and close in on you from every side. They will crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not even leave a single stone in its place because you did not accept the opportunity for salvation. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, merciful God, we want to take a look at your word this morning, Father, of how you walked into Jerusalem. You rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey to the cries of Hosanna, Hosanna. Lord, later on that week, you heard the cries of those who said, crucify him. Crucify him. Lord, how quickly we turn. Lord, how quickly the popularity that we express to you sometimes fades. Lord, let us take a look at this scripture today and never be the same. Lord, let us take your holy word into our hearts. Father, allow your Holy Spirit to minister to us, Father. Lord, I pray that all the walls would be broken down this morning, that no one would hold anything back from you, that they would just lay it at the foot of the cross this morning, Father, and surrender all to you. Lord, please be with us. Hide me behind that cross. Lord, I don't even want to be seen. I just want your word to come out of my mouth this morning, Father. Lord, I pray that you would bind anything that would disrupt your children from making a decision for you. And it's in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen. You can be seated. You know, popularity is something that we live and die by. Popularity is something. Popularity isn't dependent on being popular. Being popular or being right. Popularity doesn't have anything to do with being right. It just has something to do with being popular. Jesus was never wrong. And when he rode into Jerusalem on that donkey's back, they were crying, Hosanna, Hosanna. Later on that week, they were saying, crucify him. Jesus was holy. And Jesus was right. And there was a time when he was popular. By the end of the week, they said, crucify him. Riding in a hero. And they carried him off that cross and placed him into a borrowed tomb in just a few days. The king arrives. The King of Kings arrived into Jerusalem. He knew what he was there to do. The popular thing to do at that day was to line the streets with palm fronds. Hosanna, Hosanna. But on the turn of a dime, they freed a murderous Barabbas. They freed a murderous person and said, crucify him. Him who knew no sin. Popularity turned on a dime. Yet today, what do we aspire to be? Teenagers, y'all read up with it. Aspire to be popular. You want to be popular. Everybody wants to be that guy. I want to be the guy who's popular. Jesus didn't care about being popular because he was right. If I can impart anything on you today, Don't worry about being popular. Just worry about being right. How do we know how to be right? The Word of God. The Holy Spirit that lives in us and guides us. There are popular things that go on right all around us right now. But they're not right. If I wanted to be popular, you know how I could do that? I could stand at that door. Come on in. Here's your $100 bill. And your sins are absolved. Don't worry about it. You can sin no more. Here, Bob, here's your $100 bill. Your sins are absolved. Go live like hell. And here's $100 to do it with. I can get really popular. Man, we could build an amphitheater. Just hand out $100 bills. Live like hell. Go ahead. We want to be popular. It's easily done. It's very easily done. There are people that are popular. There are people that are popular out in this world, but they're not right. Unfortunately, there are faiths that are popular, but they're not right. There are men of God who call themselves men of God that are popular, but they're not right. The high priest of this time was very popular, but he was not right. Crucify him. God in flesh, crucify him. It was a popular thing to do at the time. Popularity is so temporary. Popularity is so temporary. Guys, when I grew up, there was a thing called parachute pants. And they were the most popular thing to ever go. Some of you are going, I have no idea what you're talking about. Some of you are like, I had parachute pants, and I had a black jacket that was cut off here that had zippers everywhere that with no pockets. But it was popular. Popularity is temporary. Beehive hairdo. Anybody remember those? At one time, that was the most popular hairdo of all time.
Bell-bottom blue jeans.
Mohawks. And oh, the mullet.
The mullet.
I've got a picture of me with a mullet. I got a cousin that didn't give up his mullet until like 2010, man. He is the Ford Pinto. Disco music. Temporary popularity. Temporary popularity. Have you ever seen, there was a movie that come out and this brother, he was a friend, he was a black man, and he had a big old afro. And he had a light blue jumpsuit. Y'all remember those? I had a light blue jumpsuit. And it had the big old lapel type things. And he had platform shoes on, and he was walking like this. I'm going down there. He was popular at that time. Now, when if he would have walked through that door, you'd be like, oh, what is he smoking? Popularity is so, there's such a small window there. You can be popular. You can be popular riding into town, and they can bury you by the end of the week. You need to understand this through the world. You don't need to worry about being popular, church. You need to worry about being right with God.
Amen.
Because not everybody that's buried is going to be resurrected and go to heaven.
That's right.
I hate to tell you that, but that's just, you know, we say the good news. I'm called to preach the good news. If I preach the good news, there's some bad that goes with it.
That's right.
And if you're not saved and you die, you're going to hell. That's the bad news. But the good news is that God Himself sent Himself in the form of Jesus, the God-man, to pay a sin debt that He didn't owe. To build a bridge. To get back to Him. And it's your choice. Don't worry about being popular. Just worry about being right. Being right with Him. Being right in this world, being right in front of your family, being right in front of your church, being right in front of your community. Live a holy life because popularity is temporary. You can be the next beehive haircut. You can be the next mullet. You can be Jesus. You can be up Hosanna, Hosanna, King of Kings. And they can be yelling, crucify him the next minute. Don't think that you're any different, church.
That's right.
You're not. If Jesus Christ himself, God in flesh, can ride in to town, King, holy, holy, Hosanna, Hosanna. A couple days later, crucify him. Give us Barabbas, a murdering thief. And crucify the Holy One, the Messiah. Don't think that you're any different. Popularity is temporary. Like I said, I mean, I was being funny when I said the beehive haircut. And the, but these things, they were the rage, man. They were the trend. Everybody listened to disco at one point in time. Everybody was doing the hustle. Nobody does that anymore. And if you're the one that's still doing it, stop. Temporary popularity is just that. It's temporary. How did Jesus go from cheers of adoring fans to crucify him in just a few days? Well, I don't know. There was a book written about this. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 23, verse 21. And I believe John chapter 23 is not there. Nobody caught me on that.
Is John 21 verse 1.
Crucify him, crucify him. Go ahead, y'all can holler it. I believe it's, hold on just a second. It's 9, I believe it's 18:21, isn't it? You don't know. I'm only supposed to know. I'm sorry. Who's singing back here?
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun. It's good to be in the. It's good to be in the house with friends, right?
It's family. Here Tuesday night to understand that.
Right. John chapter 19, verse 21.
You know what the cool part is? We still love you.
You still love me anyway?
We still love you.
You're not going to throw me under the bus with a mullet and the mohawk? So I've taught you two things. That John doesn't have a 23rd chapter. And I've also taught you that I'm not perfect.
Amen.
You're not popular. You're just
right. I'm not. I don't even have to be popular. I just got to be right. And I was wrong at this time, but the Bible never is. So if you're turning your Bibles to John chapter 19... verse 21, then the leading priest objected and said to Pilate, change it from the King of the Jews. He said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate, that is not where I was going with that. I've messed up my notes here. But I'm going to preach it anyway because you know what? God put it in my heart. I don't need notes. That's where he led me. The leaders of that day, the religious people of that day, they wore a great big hat and called the Pharisees. They didn't understand that God in flesh was standing right before them. Jesus come in. And one of the first things he did when he came into Jerusalem was clear the temple because they were making a mockery of God's church. It wasn't the popular thing to do of the day to go in and call them a den of thieves and clear the temple. It would be like somebody coming in right now and saying, you're not doing this right, and clearing the temple. It wasn't a popular thing to do. Jesus was never trying to be popular. He was just being holy. He was just being right. Jesus come in to town with a holy calling on his life. He had things to do. He wasn't worried about being popular. He was just worried about being right. The popular thing, if he was trying to be popular, he would not have surrendered himself to go up on the cross, would he not? He was just trying to fulfill the calling on his life. The court of popular opinion. We can't follow the masses. We must follow the Messiah. Amen?
Amen.
Let me give you a timeline. We actually can go back in history. We can actually go back in history to the day. Sunday, March 29th. Jesus rides in on the back of a donkey. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21, I hope. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 21, verse 1. As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came into town, in the town of Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them ahead. Go into the village over there. As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with his colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what they are doing, just say the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you take them. This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming. He is humbled, riding a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. Sunday, March 29th, Jesus goes into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. Is it popular for a king to ride on a donkey's back? How many leaders in this world do you see? Does Obama ride around on a donkey's back, or does he ride in a limousine?
Air Force.
What king, what president, what leader in this world would ride on a donkey's back to go give an official address? None of them. Jesus was never worried about being popular, Barbara. He was just here to be right. He was just here to set the example. He was just here to pay the price on that cross. Amen? Monday. That's tomorrow. Monday, March 30th. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew. I'm going to keep it kind of tight here. Matthew chapter 21, verse 12. Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out all the people buying and selling animals for sacrifice. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. He said, tell them the scriptures declare that my temple will be a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves. Was it popular for Jesus to come into the religious temple and knock tables over and scare away their little doves? It wasn't popular, but it was right. Jesus never tried to be popular. He was just right. He just wanted to do the will of the Father. Amen?
Amen.
Learn from what the Lord done for us. Tuesday, March 31st. It's funny how we can just follow the Lord's. It's like a roadmap to eternity. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 21, verse 20. The disciples were amazed when they saw this thing they had asked. I want to back up to verse 18. In the morning, as Jesus was returning to Jerusalem, he was hungry. He noticed a fig tree beside the road. He went over to see if there was any figs on it. But there was only leaves. Then he said to, may you never bear fruit again. And immediately the fig tree withered up. The disciples were amazed when they saw this and asked, how did the fig tree wither so quickly? Jesus told them, I tell you the truth. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He knows why he's there, but he doesn't stop teaching, does he? I tell you the truth. If you have the faith and don't doubt, you can do these things like this and much more. You can even say, Chris Roby, you're the one that does it. This is Chris's scripture. He'll bring this up a lot. You can even say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. You can pray for anything if you have the faith, and you will receive it. That's a Tuesday. Just a Tuesday. Just our Lord on his way to do the Father's will in Jerusalem. Wednesday, it was silent. There's nothing written in Scripture on what happened on that Wednesday. Just a silent day. You know when the Lord was silent, you know what he was doing typically? He was praying. Why was he praying on Wednesday? Because the great things were fixing to happen on Thursday. That's why. If you've got something that's fixing to happen, you know, I've got to go preach a funeral for a man that you all know. You know what I'm going to be doing the day before I preach that funeral? I'm going to be in prayer. If you're facing something that you're unsure about, if you're facing something, you need to be praying, bathing in prayer. I know that. I know when a lot of people read Scripture, you don't see some of the things. Ask the Lord to open your heart and you'll see that. Ask the Lord to open your heart and you'll see that. If you're going to know, if you know you're going to be facing something, do as the Lord done here. Just be silent. Just pray. Thursday, April the 2nd. Maundy Thursday. Turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, verse 1. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, as you know, Passover begins in 2 days, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. At this time, the leading priests and elders were meeting at the residence of Caiaphas, the high priest, plotting how to capture Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the Passover celebration, they agreed, or the people may riot. There were some things that happened on this Thursday. Some of you know the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus actually went and he sweated blood. He was praying so hard. Judas betrayed Jesus on this night. The Sanhedrin arrested Jesus. Peter's betrayal began this night. But there's also something that happened that was so beautiful. He sat down with these 12 men that he hand chose. He sat down with these 12 men that he loved so dearly. And he instituted something. It's one of the most beautiful times that you'll ever see. Jesus, the Son of God, the one who knew no sin, he said, I want to have one more time of fellowship with you. Don't ever underestimate how important fellowship is. He said, we're just going to sit down and have a meal together. And he broke the bread. But this is my body that is given. And he blessed the cup. This is the blood that will be shed. You know what else he does? This is one of the things that still amazes me. Jesus was God in flesh, right? He knew everything. There's nothing that he didn't know. Jesus humbled himself. He come out, girded in a towel. He bowed to his knees. And he walked over to his friends. These men had dirty feet. These men walked on their feet in these sandals. God in flesh took the foot of Judas, the one who would betray him. He took it off and he washed his feet. Elmer, he washed Judas's feet. God in flesh knew that Judas was going to betray him, but he humbled himself and washed Judas's feet. The last week of Jesus' life. The last time he ever sat with his friends, he washed the man who betrayed him, who sold him for 30 pieces of silver's feet. What kind of love is that? What kind of love is that? That's a love that a father has for his child. That's a love that we can only aspire to understand and have. It's just a regular old Thursday to some people. But to me, it's when my God humbled himself and showed us how to humble ourselves. When you think you're up here, read of how my God humbled himself and washed a bunch of old men's feet. Even the one who said, crucify him. Even the one who would later deny him. Friday, later on that night, Judas would betray him. And the beating, and the mockery, and the false accusations, the false trials, the false convictions would begin. Peter, the leader of the bunch, would deny him three times. Deny that he even knew him, and curse the one who made that accusation. But it was just a Friday. Just a regular old Friday. Jesus is scourged. Crucify him! They yelled. Crucify him! And eventually he was turned over to be crucified. But not before he was beaten, spit on, denied by his friends. This is the one who rode in on the back of a donkey to Hosanna! Hosanna! He was the most popular man in Jerusalem of that time, Barbara. And on a Friday, his best friends betrayed him. One of them sold him for 30 pieces of silver. One of them denied that he even knew him. And then cursed the one who said, aren't you with the Galilean? Are you out of your blippy mind or whatever? I don't know what he said, but he cursed that person. How quickly that popularity faded. Some of you are worried about being popular. Some of you are worried, truly, you're worried about, you spend the majority of your time trying to be popular with somebody. Do you see where it got Jesus? Do you see how quickly that popularity fades? Do you see what truly matters? You will. You're fixing to, because it's fixing to be displayed on a cross for you and I. How quickly that popularity fades, Elmer. Learn this from the Bible. Learn this from what our Lord went through. Judas couldn't even handle it. Do you know that Judas hung himself? The man who betrayed Jesus, one of Jesus' closest confidants. Jesus gave him the money, the purse strings. That would be the one that we would trust, right? And he sold him for 30 pieces of silver. And he couldn't live with it. You know, I take something out of that. Don't ever do anything you can't live with. You really need to think before you do stuff sometimes, don't you? Because you can be forgiven. The Lord forgive. The Lord give Judas a chance. He forgive him. The Lord forgive Judas. You realize that, right? But Judas couldn't forgive himself. Judas couldn't forgive himself. They beat Jesus. They spit on him. Then they turned him over to be crucified. The one that rode in on the back of a donkey to the cries of Hosanna, Hosanna. They crucified him. And they nailed him to an old rugged cross. And they lifted him up for the world to see. In pain, in shame. The one that they hollered for with cheers. They crucified him. And mocked him. The cheers went to jeers that quick. And they can for each and every one of us. Don't worry about being popular. Worry about being right. Jesus said something on that cross that I can never forget. Never get out of my mind. He said, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. Even as these ones who spit on him and beat him and crucified him. He prayed, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. To the thief, to his side. Today you'll be with me in paradise. He looked down at his mother. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. He wasn't worried about being popular. He was worried about being holy. He was worried about being faithful to what the Lord had entrusted him with. It is finished. He cried, it is finished. As he hung on that cross, it is finished. The price for their sins has been paid. It is finished. Into thy hands I commend my body. Bless it, Lord. Bless it, Lord. About 3 o'clock, that big temple that they were so proud of. The big temple that they were so proud of. And the curtain that kept the old carpenters and the old welders and the old maintenance guys. The old mechanics. The old regular folks. The curtain that they were so proud of that kept us from him. Was so neatly torn from top to bottom. And it was finished. Sins were paid. Jesus was taken down off that cross. Jesus was taken down off that cross. And he was put into a borrowed tomb. The man who was on a donkey's back, going into Jerusalem in a few days, had been crucified. Let's dispose of him because the Passover's coming and we don't want any of this messy stuff around while we're eating our meal. So they stuck him in a borrowed tomb. But as so often, as Jesus does, something great was awaiting on the other side of that mess. He wasn't depending on the popularity that he had, guys. Do you hear me? He wasn't dependent on the popularity. He was dependent on the Lord.
Amen.
His popularity was gone with the mullet and the mohawk. But the Lord was faithful. God the Father showed favor. He sent his son for a specific purpose, for a holy calling. And at just the right time, in just the right place, God showed his great love. While we were still yet sinners, that he sent his son to die on an old rugged cross for a sinner like you and me, to make a way to where he is, where we can go. Amen. We don't have to be popular to be with him. Do you realize that?
Amen.
Your popularity don't get you to heaven. It's just being holy. It's just being right with God. You don't have to be the popular kid. Those of you who were picked last when they were doing dodgeball, you can be in heaven with anybody else. You don't have to have the right last name. You don't have to have all the zeros in your bank account. You just got to be right with God. Your grandbaby's smiling at me. I don't have to be popular, but I have to be right. Amen. That kid said amen. I'm pretty sure I heard that. I don't know. I could be wrong. What's your calling today? What's your calling? What's the Lord called you to do? Do you know what God has called you to do? He sent Jesus on a holy calling to make it right, to make a way for us. And it's not about being popular. It's not about being popular, guys. It's about being right with the Lord. I want to share something with you today. It's not all about having the big position.
Amen.
It's not. It's about being in the right place. It's not all about having the big bank account and the accolades in front and behind your name. It's about being right with God.
Amen.
Always.
The same road that you are brought into popularity, that road to Jerusalem where they said, Hosanna, Hosanna. That can be the road that they pack you out on to throw you in the trash heap. But when you put your faith in Jesus, when you put your faith in the Messiah, the chosen one, he's faithful. He never lets you down. I'm going to give you a little preview of next week's sermon. The grave that they stuck him in, he didn't stay.
Amen.
The cross that they hung him on, he arose again.
Amen.
Our God's not dead.
Amen.
Buddha is in the same grave they buried him in.
Yes.
Muhammad is in the same grave they buried him in. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I. Amen, sister? We got that one. We ain't got to be popular. We just got to be on the right side.
And Chris, doesn't he show us every day he's alive?
Every day.
Exactly.
Hold up that baby. You want to see my God at work?
Yes.
This is my God at work. There are those in this world that would tell you that he's an accident.
No, she's not.
She's an accident. This is not an accident. This is a miracle of God. This is Miss Scarlet. And she is one of God's creations. This is how we know
You can look at her and see that God loves us.
Yep. Amen.
Yes, you can. I can see God in her eyes.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have to know. I don't have to go to some guru and say, is God around? I can see him in his creation. God shows his love to us every day, doesn't he, Scarlett? There's stuff on there that I don't want. My God is not dead. My God rose.
Don't worry about being popular this week. You just worry about proclaiming Christ.
Amen.
Don't worry about being number one on the football team. Worry about being number one in his team.
Amen.
Amen. Guys, there's a decision here that needs to be made. Are you going to be popular? Or are you going to be popular with the Lord? Miss Denise, as you come forward and prepare this hymn of invitation, I want you to make that known to the Lord today. I want you to make a decision and say, Lord, I want to be popular with you, not with the world. I want to be number one in your team, not on their team. I want to be on the highway to heaven and not the highway to hell. There's probably someone here today that does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. There's probably someone here today that's heavy hearted. There's something in between them and the Lord. And you just may need to come down and ask the Lord to forgive you. You just may need to come and make it right. We don't have to go behind the veil because he went on the cross. We don't have to go through the priest. Because he is the priest.
Amen.
You don't have to come down here to this altar. You can do it right where you're at. But I do know one thing. The Lord loves obedience. I do know that the Lord loves a humble heart. Because he himself humbled himself. Whatever decision you have to make today, please make it for the Lord. Just make it for him. Would you bow your heads with me?